You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
.7 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. It's an anniversary observed. Tomorrow, April Fool's Day, is our real anniversary, but we won't be here, thank goodness. We're going to be resting and reflecting on the Word of God and nature and all that good stuff. The prodigal son, Joe Higgins, back.
Good morning, everybody.
So glad that you're here. Now he's been promoted since Joe's been here. Captain Chaos is now Major Mayhem. And it's our good friend Sean McCluskey from Rincon Ventures.
How we all doing? The funny thing when Hoffine said earlier that what would you think is still here 14 years later, and that'd be me.
Where would you go?
I don't know, but I mean, 14 years ago, April 15th is when I met you guys.
And that's right.
And then 2 days later, I'm running for office, and here we are 14 years later.
We're sorry.
I had a blast. Dude. I wouldn't do it again, but
sorry. It's a Joe and Chris apology tour.
We're sorry.
I mean, it was a lot
of fun.
Where
did Chris hurt you? Where did he touch you?
In my soul. Yeah, I don't have any feelings. It was a blast. I'd do it again, but maybe not.
What's it going to take to get him to be General Cluster? If he's had Major Mayhem, how do we get you up to the, how do we get that extra bar?
So there is a general, and so I haven't heard a general cluster.
would it be colonel? Or
so I also
say, did you say
I was going to go cluster? General disarray is
another good one.
But
Brush Fires had one yesterday too. I forgot what it was.
Keep working it. We're going to get you that stripe. You deserve it.
He's a little unpredictable. That's
I haven't caused any mayhem in a little bit. I mean, I've been behaved. Which
well,
is
you
rare.
Had kids.
Yeah, well,
tones
yeah,
you down.
Yeah, Ash and the kids will tone you down a little bit.
Tones you down.
I think it might be the lack of sleep.
That'll do it too.
The first year you don't get much sleep.
You were at your worst when you were single, right?
I had nothing better to pick.
Oh yeah. If there's an idle hands, is the devil's work.
Right. I gotta beat this Ash.
You always
a good thing.
You've always worked very hard at what you do, and you're good at what you do. But the problem is, there's still 24 hours in a day.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, that is the that
balance,
is the
grasshopper balance.
That's where the kid came in.
Yes,
there's a reason to go home and hang out. And just like he's just personal entertainment.
Well, between two kids and your giant dogs and a beautiful wife, you're in a good spot.
I will tell you this: we met originally, and we have kids the same age.
Yep,
mine graduated grad school in May. She'll graduate.
Oh wow!
And they were like in third grade, second grade.
Yeah.
Something crazy like
that. It's insane.
And you have two, I have two. They're the same ages.
Correct.
And to see that life
that
cycle,
long later.
Yeah, that's why I told you on the break. I says really enjoy the moments.
Oh,
you wake up one day and they're like, grad school and married and gone.
Correct.
It's crazy.
It's correct.
Pull your hair out.
Yeah.
So every Friday, it started with Joe talking about how he had a great time eating
Olive
chicken
Garden.
Strips at Chili's one day.
Right. I'm a big drive-thru guy.
But it all started with the question when you said to me, hey, Chris, so long I've been around. Have you tried that new Zen Burger yet over on Campbell? And I said, yeah, it was really amazing. It was $14, didn't come with French fries, came with a pickle chip, and the burger was
big plate, small food. Sam Fox, typical Sam Fox restaurant.
And then Joe said, there goes another advertiser. And thus, Local Food Fridays was born.
Yep.
So, and it's been amazing meeting all these people from restaurateurs, chefs, guys doing honey in the middle of the desert. We've done it all.
Growing things, buying local. The story of these chefs that have gone over the world, right? They've been in France and Spain and New York, and then they're here.
Yeah.
And why? And what's their story? And what are they bringing? What's their art that they're bringing to their food? It was a joy.
And one of the blessings of Tucson, as we know, is the diversity of great cuisine and great characters that make it up. And one of those is Chef John Hone. Still walking around with... Yeah, you don't have that Iron Chef shirt anymore, do you?
I do, and I was a little mad that you didn't put it on your Facebook. Iron Chef John will be here today.
Oh, my gosh.
But
that's when you're...
You can tell him now.
These chefs are sensitive, Chris. They're artistic and they're sensitive.
That was when you were at the Gringo place, right?
Was that a Gringo? Omni Tucson National.
Oh, you were Omni when you won Iron Chef?
Yeah, Bob's Chicken Chop House. And then... They recruited me over at Gringo, and then they put up this big sign for that advertisement type piece. And people would come in like, where's the Iron Chef? Where's the Iron Chef?
That's
Can
cool.
I get an Iron Chef quesadilla?
Now tell me the Iron Chef story. Was that national, local, state?
It was a local Tucson thing.
Sweet.
Yeah. I know when I was at Los Hotels for 13 years, we held the Iron Chef competition there, And sweet. I dreamt about it. And there was a chef above me.
There
was no way that I would ever be allowed to join.
You were just a captain. You weren't the general yet.
No.
Nice.
No.
Nice. So what's been your journey? You've mentioned a couple of resorts. Look, how'd you get into cooking? How did this start? What made you do this?
Well, let me say on the opposite side of the coin. When I was at Lowe's for 13 years, they said, why are you here for so long? Why don't you go travel and find out what's going on? I said, why would I leave here? I have chefs from France and Germany England coming here.
Right.
I'll just wait for them here.
Cool.
And that
sauces and different flavors and whatnot. That's cool.
And different personalities and management techniques. But when I was in high school, my dad said, go get a job. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go work at a car wash. And he's like, no, you're not. That's for losers. You're going to wash dishes.
Yours too, huh?
I was like, okay, I'll do that. And
Coach Ditka for a father.
He subtly kicked Joe in the knee and didn't know it.
So I heard about the tack room. That's back in the day, right?
Sure.
And that was like my dream job. I'm like, oh, I want to work at a 5-star, 5-diamond restaurant and make ice carvings and...
That's true. I forgot about ice carvings.
And they're like, get back here and wash those dishes, son.
Yeah, pretty much. But then I would go outside and pick mint in the garden at the tack room and smoke some marijuana while I was out there.
No way. Whoa. Stop. It was illegal back then. You can't talk about that on the air.
I know. It's still on my record, but I guess I can get it expunged now.
Well, just vote Democrat. Everything will go away. Just start changing your party affiliation. You're good.
But then you know, at the tack room, I had to quit. My cousin was singing in Country Thunder. And, you know, we're kids at the same age. And they're like, yeah, you can have it off. And then they're like, no, you can't have it off. Because McMahon bought it during that process. And I was like, no, I can have it off. And I'm going to have it off. And so I left and went. Never came back? No, never came back. Went to the concert. And then I was like, my parents were like, hey, you should get a job that provides benefits and vacation. And so these big hotels was kind of like where I was steered.
Yeah, cool. Now, isn't there an energy and a flow when you're in the service world, bartending or you're chefing, bartending? But when you've at it a while and you know where everything's at and it just picks up correctly and you're in the weeds and things are flowing, there's nothing like it.
No, we're definitely in the zone.
Nothing like it. And I've never experienced it since that time in my life. We're just moving.
You know? And then you got smart and you're like, I'm out of this place.
Well, there comes a time where you're like, oh, this could be a long one. I better get moving.
Well, you do it unconsciously conscious. You're just flowing through
it.
But then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second, hold on. This is overwhelming.
It took a while to get there. But when I got there, and I explain it, when you talk to people that have been in the world, they're like, I get it. You know?
We call it mise en place. Everything is in its place. So everything is there, you're in there.
Yep.
And then you just go with it.
Yep.
So Matt's laughing when you said mise en place because of our George, who owned Athens. He's the co-owners of, you know, Athens and It's Greek to Me. A young man comes in. He wanted to apply to be a line cook. And he handed him his resume. And then George comes out kind of laughing and he hands it to me. And the guy, instead of saying spelling it correctly, put mice in place.
Yeah. It's perfect.
He goes, I don't know if I want that in my kitchen, the mice in place guy. Who did you defeat for Iron Chef?
Michael Bujold. He's
with that sounds fancy.
Desert Diamond Casino, and I think he still's with Desert Diamond up in Glendale or somewhere up there. Yeah.
What was the ingredient?
That cheese.
Wow.
And the next year I had bacon.
How can you not go wrong with bacon?
But one of the coolest things was I created my menu for the Iron Chef competition. We said, what's the best foods? And then no matter what ingredient they gave us, we were going to work with it. And so a quesadilla was part of it. And then they give us cheese. I'm like, thank you, Lord.
Couldn't be any easier. Thanks for showing up the softball.
All right, we're going to do another segment with Chef John Hone. We got to talk about Tuesday's live remote breakfast that John and his students are going to be providing a heck of a meal at. And we'll talk more food. We'll take your phone calls at 790-2040. Aldo from the University of Arizona Racetrack Program is joining us at the bottom of the hour. He's one of the handicappers at Rito Racetrack.
Oh, cool. Are we going to do some soccer when I'm on? Because I don't come on enough.
Well, we got Liverpool, Manchester United at Manchester City.
Play
at 4:30 in the morning.
Play some jazz.
Dan Buren's up next with top 10 subtitled movies.
Oh, right. Steak and Joe's heart right
with
there.
With jazz quotes.
I got to read too.
Top 10 jazz movies that have subtitles. That deal with soccer.
I got to read.
Top 10 movies that deal with soccer or jazz with subtitles coming up at 8 o'clock hour. Joe Higgins, Christy Simone, Sean McCluskey, John Hone, and you. It's the 14th anniversary show. Home. We're going to take a quick phone call. Let's go to some guy named Juan on line 44. Juan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Oh, Congressman Siskamani. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
It's that Juan. I've heard that joke my whole life, but I never really am the one to say it, so it's all good right now.
Well, when I was inside giving Matt his breakfast from Chef John Hone, he goes, Juan's on the phone. I go, Juan who?
Which Juan?
Hey, Juan, before you start, this, let me tell this story, because back in 2008... Juan and I are running for office. I'm running for county. You're running for state senator or one of the LDs. And we're deep in the hunt of it, right? So when you do the Rotary Circuit or you do the Pima County Women's Circuit, you do the speech and then behind you is Juan or he's in front of me. Or you get to know each other, right? Because you're on the campaign trail.
It was you, Juan, and Al Melvin.
Right. So Juan and I go get breakfast about halfway. Remember this? Halfway through the, or we grab coffee and I'm like, why is everybody so mean to us, right? We're young and we're like, want to change the world. And you were the same thing. You're like, why are they just not nice inside of our own party? Remember that?
Oh, man. Those were some days. Those were some days. I was 25 and we jumped in. We didn't know anything. And we just kind of like jumped in. I didn't know who even to talk to. I didn't know what I didn't know. And
exactly.
The results of my election showed that, by the way.
Exactly. And look at you now, brother. I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad you're out there and trying to make a difference. Yeah. And you've been at it for a long, long time. So congrats to you.
Well, thanks, man. Thank you. The beating was so significant that it took me about 14, 15 years to recover from that. And here we are in office again. But no, that was some good times, and yeah, you get to meet a lot of people and learn a lot. But I mean, the reason I'm calling is to wish you all just a happy Wake Up Tucson birthday. 14 years is a big deal, and I do remember when you guys launched it. Actually, Joe, speaking of that, it was kind of after that election that you and Chris wanted to just do something.
Right.
You know, a lot of people. One of the things that I heard in that election, which was very telling for me, people kept telling me, "Hey, if you lose," and they kind of knew I was going to, you know, I was running in a district that was 3-1 Democrat to Republican. I had no chance.
But you didn't care. You just did it anyway, man. I love it.
I just did it. Yeah. I went for it. But people would tell me all the time, hey, if you lose, don't go away. We see a lot of people that lose and they go away. You don't have to run again, but just stay involved, stay plugged in. And I would look around the room and like, no, all these candidates that are running are promising to be here no matter what. Right. So I never thought that would happen, but you're right. Vast majority of the people that lost that round, that have lost any round after that, just lose and then they just get unplugged. And then you didn't. And that's how this idea was born with Chris as well. And then, of course, Chris picked it up and ran with it. And it's been an amazing source of information.
But Juan, I think that those that keep going, there's three of us in the room, Sean and Chris and I, and you in Congress, is you're in it for a reason. You want to make a difference. You know, you've got young kids. Yeah. We're a next generation. We're looking at the state of the country, and we're saying it's not about where I'm sitting and what I'm doing, whether it's radio or sitting in U.S. Congress. It's about how do we make a difference. And I see that in you, and I've seen that in you in a long time. So you keep at it, man.
That's the attitude. And, you know, Sean's in the room as well. Mm-hmm. When he ran for mayor, the same thing. It's just, that means that, Chris, you got to run for something. I don't know. And then lose, and then, you know.
It's true. It's been spoken about.
Still staying here.
You'll be in good company.
When they finally run my you-know-what off the air, I'll be running for something.
And not the door.
Oh, man, no. You guys have kept it fun and highlighting small businesses.
Yep.
It's informative. It's good news. And also, you're not afraid of getting people on the show that don't agree with you, and you're respectful in that exchange. And you have them on again. It's been a great platform for a lot of us to be able to get out there and get our message out, but also learn from people, take the callers. Anyway, it's been a blast knowing you guys, and I look forward to continue to just be in touch throughout the years. But wanted to just call. I got in last night, and I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school, and which is funny because I it was my daughter's birthday on Wednesday, and I FaceTimed with them when I was in D.C. And my 9-year-old said, "Hey, Daddy, Friday is a half day. Can we just skip it?" And I'm like, "Oh God, end of the quarter." I said, "Maybe, yeah." I said, "I don't see a problem." I was in the middle of stuff, and then Laura picks up the phone, and she's like, "That was the wrong answer." She's like, "Back me up." I was like, "Well, you got to coordinate with me what the answer was." So we're still negotiating that this morning.
Hey Juan, we're living vicariously through you and what you do. And if you're not following Juan on Twitter, you're really prolific, and you really explain what's going on, who you're meeting, what's it look like. So jump on Twitter and follow on Siskamani, and we're pulling for you for the next election and on and making a difference.
Yeah, you gotta go start fundraising again. So thanks for talking to us. So see you later.
I'll see you later.
All right. Thanks, Juan.
Thanks, Juan, for all your help and support and love over the years. Hey,
I'll see
you
later today, Chris.
You got a live remote coming up next week with this guy over here. What's he serving?
Yeah, we got 2 minutes. So
I'm so glad that wasn't Juan from Taco Rustica. I was getting scared.
Throw down. Absolutely.
We're making some amazing birria tacos for breakfast. We have breakfast quesadillas. We have overnight oats. I know, Chris, you don't really like instant oatmeals, but that's what we did today. That makes an easy overnight oats, and we just poured some horchata over it, and then the next day we put some whipped cream and some garnish on it.
Beautiful.
We're going to have an omelet station.
Yep. Very good. Very tasty.
We have an omelet station and then some mocktails to drink. So obviously we'll have your coffee and we'll have your other things, but come
tater
on
tot out. Casserole.
There you go.
Tater tot casserole. The food's always amazing. So $20 for this amazing buffet, and you get to watch old Big Mouth do a show with Greg and the good folks at Gap. So go to wakeup.gapmin.com. So always love the support of Gap Ministry and you over the years, and I always appreciate it. And give me two or three local places you're hitting. We haven't had you on in a while. You're all over the place taking pictures of burritos now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. I just drive around.
You're
and
taking
take the
more
place.
Pictures of your food at restaurants than me and McCluskey combined right now.
And I only did it a little bit. I don't really have a place. You know, I try and go different places every time. Of course, El Rusco is really good. It's right there next to my work, about 2 miles away.
What are you doing for hamburgers? Anywhere? I've been craving a good hamburger.
Divine Bovine for me.
I know.
Still
they're
the best.
So good. Yeah.
Lindy's.
Lindy's? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
You got to go downtown for it, so that's take your life in
that's
your
a,
hands.
That's but a parking ticket for Joe.
Quit going.
I forgot about
that's
that.
A long story.
Yeah. It's a couple decades old.
Yeah.
$185. Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on. You know, like Joe said, you know, having the attackers on or the people that don't agree with you. Even you said yesterday, Steve Farley is a good, you know, a good guy, and you know, it's awesome to have those people on. Steve. So those are my memories. And Allie Miller.
Yeah.
You know, going just the amount of interest she shows in what she did was like no other. She knew everything. She could tell you what's on page 42 on paragraph 4.
And she took a truckload of hell for it.
Yes, she did. Change your life for it.
She's still getting hell for it.
Yep.
True. We got DeFilippo on Mondays now. She's carrying the ball pretty good.
Yeah, she's amazing. That's amazing.
All right, my friend. I'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Wake up, everybody.
Thanks.
All right. We got Aldo coming in from the U of A racetrack program.
Oh, yeah. For 7 years, you've been waking up to this voice. Every morning, the routine, the alarm goes off. You put on the pot of coffee, jump in the shower, think about your day. You turn on the boys at 10:30 a.m. KVOI, the voice for Wake Up Tucson. You remember the stories from Joe's Rose getting broken into in his different businesses? How about his parking ticket? He single-handedly took on the big machine of Tucson, Arizona, and changed Tucson from the highest parking tickets in the entire country.
It's true. They did drop it $21.
Right. So now they're the second.
So, so Joe, this is 3.5 minutes fast. We got to get going with our lives, but this is the Joe Higgins custom intro. You did a nice job with it.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Joe's back. Sean McCluskey's here. And then we have our good friend Aldo from the University of Arizona Racetrack Program. And, of course, he's part of the bilingual handicapping team with Mikey in the paddock circle. Good morning. Welcome back, Aldo.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Weather's getting much better. It's less windy. It's getting warm. It's good.
So Aldo and Mike are two. They're going to give you all their picks before each of the races.
Okay,
kind of thing. And so we talked about it. Your dad's a jockey,
mm-hmm.
right? Rides up in the state of Washington,
correct?
Right, but then he exercises horses at Los Alamitos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we both know my brother's horse that he used to have, Get a Load of This, the big gray,
correct.
Which was a weird little combination of us knowing each other. So you're at the, first of all, we got the last weekend of Rito. Is this season gone fast? It seemed like I can't believe this is one of their longest seasons. We're already at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it was 9 weeks long, and like I said, you know, it was the first two weekends, and you're like, well, you know, we still got 7 weekends to go, and look, you know, it's already April. Last weekend went by way too fast.
So how are your picks? So if we went back on Aldo's picks for this season, how are you looking?
I've had some bad days and I've had some good days.
Just like all of us.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a, since you're a handicapper and you know how to pick horses. Uh-huh. I used to go to Rialito with my grandfather. So okay. I was probably third grade, fourth grade. I mean, old school, OG. And he would pick if the horse, can I say this on the air?
Just Matt, lean over on the dump.
If the horse
defecated.
There you go.
He would pick that horse. Mm-hmm. And he would say that's going to win because they're ready. Is that real?
I've heard that angle a lot of the times. You know, I've heard people use that angle. You know, they're like, well, he's lighter now, so, you know, he's going to win. And I've seen those horses win. I can't tell there's a science, well, my science behind
my,
it, but
my grandpa died broke, so it didn't work for him in theory. So
you say that's better than the people I went with. It's got a big butt. I'm picking that one. I'm like, oh my.
so many fun experiences at that racetrack, and just it's so cool and intimate, and it's small, and you're in there, and you feel like you're part of it.
The diversity of the crowd.
Such a cool.
You get to see the little kids from Mexico all dolled up in their little cowboy outfits, and they play. I mean, they just walk out there. They love it. They go up to the horses. They have a blast.
Yep.
And then you got the 85-year-old, 90-year-old people out there and the people in the middle. It's just one heck of a good time.
Frat boys from the U of A.
There's that, too. They got food trucks out there.
On their 17th beer.
And the beer, yeah.
Betting four different tracks at the same time.
They're having a good time, though.
Hey, liquor's not that expensive out there.
So in the pecking order of horse track racing, you know, you have the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this one at? Like single A, double A, triple A? What are these horses? What quality or what circuit or how does it work in horse racing?
I mean, honestly, we're probably not at the highest, but you know, we get all types of horses. You know, we get like a couple weekends ago, we had a shipper from Santa Anita, you know, ran one of our stakes.
Do they come down to win races and get their stats up or something? Or
basically, I mean, sometimes, yeah, they just come to win. You know, we had a stake. It was worth 20,000. Okay. You know, it's you know, if someone was going to give you $10,000 just like that, I'd take it.
Honey,
well,
grab the horse. We're going to Tucson.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously.
Gotta feed that man.
Yeah, I was going to say pay some feed.
Exactly. I mean, we're definitely not, you know, Kentucky, California caliber. But, you know, we're a couple steps below. So, it's a good racetrack. It's a good ambience. Like I said, one of the best tracks I've been in terms of the people and the environment.
Cool. Like I go to Sonoyta Racetrack. They do that in the summer, I think July. And that's probably lower than Tucson, right? The type
yeah,
of caliber.
A little bit.
Okay, so there's a pecking order somehow, and we're not the highest, but not the lowest.
Yeah.
So for Saturday, I was me and my wife, Bill and Betsy, were there, and it was six race, and the horse named General Thayer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So General Thayer had two things going for us that had nothing to do with its breeding, performance, or anything, right? Betsy was Miss Thayer County back in Nebraska years ago, and my wife loves gray horses, mm-hmm. and that horse was a beautiful gray horse. So I thought I put him in a couple of different, you know, exacta kind of things, right? And then I said, I'm going to put $10 on the nose on that guy, right? And thank God he came in, and he paid $22, which is one of the best win pays I've seen all season, right? And if you saw Chris...
22 to 1?
Yeah. No, he paid $22. So.
Like 10 to 1, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He paid $22 on a $2 bet, all right?
Okay.
And what happened was, if you saw me, I was yelling, almost hoarse. I kept on repeating the word, stay up, right? Because he was leading almost the entire race. And I couldn't believe he was even going to hold on. I'm like, oh, he's going to die like a nag, right? And somehow he held on, and I'm screaming, stay up!
In your small petite size.
Yes, absolutely.
Did mama get a new pair of shoes after that win?
I don't know. $100 is, you know, it's a decent shoe. Not great.
Mama needs some new shoes.
But I think it paid for dinner that night.
Nice.
So that's always a good thing. So what's going on this weekend at the racetrack, Aldo?
Well, we got obviously closing weekend. Saturday, we got a great card. But Sunday, our card is great. You know, both days, 9 races each day. On Sunday, we have like, I want to say over 80 horses entered. I mean, only 8 can run at a time, but, you know, each race has, you know, 2 also eligibles at least. So, you know, there's, since it was closing week and a lot of people are trying to run, get their horse in one more time before they go to like Sonoyta or Douglas where they go after. It's going to be full fields. I mean, some good card. Our main race, which is the Bud, Drew 10 horses, mile and 16. It's going to be a pretty fun race to
how
watch.
Much, how much the, what's the purse on that one?
The purse on that's, I think, 22 plus added. So it's pretty neat.
Does each horse race once in a day, or can you race twice?
Once, yeah. Okay. Yeah, once. I mean, you can do, you know, once every week.
Okay.
Typically, it's 2 to 3 weeks, but, I mean, they can go once. I mean, like I said, we have a lot of horses coming back in a week. Just because it's last weekend. So,
gotcha.
You know, mm-hmm.
So you're graduating, or you have graduated?
Graduating next winter.
Next winter. Okay.
Credits and stuff, you know, accounting.
It took me 7 years, brother. Good for you. And I'm not a doctor.
So you're planning on being at Reno next year, too? You think?
I don't know yet. Well, I mean, for sure, you know, well, this summer I plan to, because I'm a jockey agent as well, I'll be up at Emerald Downs for a couple weeks or a couple months. And then the plan is to go to do an internship at Gulfstream Park, which is pretty cool. I'll be going to Florida the late part of the summer. So it's definitely a new experience. I've never really been on that side of the country. So it's, you know,
Florida
it's
in August is beautiful.
Yeah. Is it? Nice and sticky.
If you're used to dry heat, you ain't getting it over there.
I'm not. That's what I heard. I was like, oh, I mean, and then you get those like hurricanes. I'm like, man, I hope it's not bad.
Well, I was talking to Mike, your handicapping mate, mm-hmm. on Saturday, and his job coming out of school, his internship is with Claiborne Farms, one of the top breeders in the world in Kentucky. And he's going to be there through the sale in September. So.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a place to start.
Yeah, definitely. We're really excited and happy for him. He's going to be there. He's excited. He's going to work with the babies, the weanlings, the yearlings.
Is that owned by the Sheik? Is that Claremont?
I don't think so.
There's no one out there that's... I've driven through Kentucky horse farms, and wow.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The fences are worth more than my house.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Sheik has, like, they got Godolphin, Darley, and a couple others. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we have actually somebody that works from the program. She graduated last year, and she's working at... I'm pretty sure it's a Godolphin.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have her on Instagram. We have a group chat with all the RTAP students. And she'll send those babies like, yeah, you know, that. Hey,
that's $1 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This baby's probably going to be worth $1 million. The mama's probably worth 10. But, yeah, here's some pictures. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
So Joe's a cattle rancher.
I am.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Longhorns.
Down in Patagonia.
Yep.
And I'll never forget this story. So him and I are in Roy and Rocky Point.
Yep.
And his buddy Steve lived up in La Cholla Bay, right? And a neighbor across the street was a guy who owned the biggest feedlot in Maricopa County.
At least
100,000 head at the average that he's feeding, right? And so Joe was looking just to get into, but Joe's looking for a bargain.
Yeah.
Always.
And I'll never forget this. This is a great Wake Up Tucson memory on our anniversary date. Joe's talking to his brother. Remember, it was his brother, mm-hmm. right? And he goes, hey, you know, how much for, I forgot what kind of, I don't know if you said a Hereford. I forgot what kind of
steer.
Yeah, right. And he, I think he said, well, you know, you get a pretty good one. I think he told you 10 G's,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're like, is there like a bargain one? Like
is one there one like a little dent or scratch?
I think I swear to God, I think Joe said 3 legs.
my budget's $500. So you got one that's returned or didn't sell last year, scratch and dent, right?
A little different of the 1.5 million foal that Aldo's right. talking about it. Claiborne. All right, so races this weekend. Remember, the doors open at 11 o'clock.
Beautiful weather.
The weather's going to be
just
perfect.
Very perfect participant.
First race starts at 1:00. And then again, great food options. Our friend Juan from El Taco Rustico's upstairs on the grandstand. Mutt's downstairs is doing a great job with the Usinger sausages and hot dogs from Wisconsin.
Oofta,
thank you very much. And then, of course, there's the amazing little kind of Tejano party that's always going down on the West End. And that starts at the end of the day and goes for at least a couple hours. So the party kind of keeps going at Rito.
Until it's at least 6:00. So, yeah, it's a good time, you know. Last weekend, you know, come on down. If not, you'll have to wait till next year. So,
Aldo, it was great meeting you. I'll see you. I'll be up there probably Sunday. I'll see you guys out there.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Yeah, hopefully everyone comes this weekend. Hopefully, better tips this weekend.
Take a look at the screen before you bet and take out those Aldo's suggestions and make some money.
Great seeing you again, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, Rito Racetrack. This is the last weekend, so yes. Let's go to break. We'll get to her. So, Lori, thanks for holding on. We'll get to you. Is this Rodney Glassman's, Lori? Yes, that's part of Wake Up Tucson history. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. All right. They might be giants. It's called We Live in a Dump. This was introduced to us by one of our best interns, Christian Schmidt. introduced us to We Live in a Dump. Sean McCluskey's here. Welcome back, sir.
How we doing?
Rincon Ventures, RVRTO.com. And then the prodigal son, Joseph T. Higgins, is here.
Good morning, everybody.
Educational rancher, as we call him.
That's
now.
It. Church, families, and schools. That's the game, baby.
We're going to go deep soon on that. We got to get to, so we talked about Sean and you running for office.
Right.
Right. And another person who ran for office who had similar results but had a big heart about it is our very good friend, Lori. Lori, welcome to the show.
Good morning, all. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, ma'am. Well,
just going to say it right now. How's Rodney treating you?
Oh, my God.
You always have to do that, don't you? Always have to set me back into counseling.
Now, Lori, I follow you through social media and your daughters. You have one that's in D.C. What's going on there? Tell me the story.
So she's actually working with Juan.
Oh,
he's
cool.
A communication person with the Appropriations Committee.
Excellent.
For the House of Representatives.
Oh, cool. Oh, very cool.
Yeah, very happy. And then my oldest daughter is a journalist here, and she's doing all sorts of travel stuff. She writes content for Madden Media, but her project is Idaho.
Okay.
So if anyone's going to Idaho, she can tell you all about it.
Oh, excellent. There's plenty of Tucsonans we know that live in Idaho now.
And she just had an article that came out in their travel magazine about dude ranches and all of that sort of stuff.
Cool.
So that's,
how cool.
So she's enjoying that.
Good. Good, good. Well, it seemed like we watched them all grow up in all our political events and YouTube.
Right?
Yeah.
I came across a picture the other day of you, Joe, and the Sabino Teenage Republicans. We were at a protest at Grijalva's office.
I remember it well. Back when you could protest without having a lot of problems happening to you, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep. So just wanted to wish you guys happy anniversary. Glad you're there. Glad you're shining the light on the
insanity.
The very dark side of
right.
Yes.
Lori, thanks for all your support over the years, and thanks. You know, you're now a community service officer for CPD, and you're living your service to the community to this day.
Yep.
And stay.
Absolutely, I couldn't make a change in political office, so it's like, okay, where can I make a change?
Right.
And I love my job.
Excellent. Well, good.
So, you guys take care.
Thanks, good luck combating the homeless.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you.
Bye, Lori. Take care. Yes, Sean.
So, Lightfoot lost in Chicago.
Yeah.
Does this set up a bad situation for Romero, who's not paying attention to her community, just like Lightfoot? I mean, because if you drive around our community now, the zone up in Phoenix was just outlawed by the judge. But if you drive through Tucson, there's 15, 20 different 10 or 15 plus homeless camps.
Joe, do you want to answer?
No.
Joe's like, Sean, how much can I sell my house for?
No, Sean, it doesn't.
So
having pushed that rock up a hill for a number of years with you and I don't see the change. I don't see.
So the difference between first of all, there's a chance in this runoff that someone just as lefty as her can be the mayor of Chicago.
Perfect.
So you kids are not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, but
you can't
just decimate your police and then blame your community for its undoing of itself.
The difference here is because Chicago is such a big city and Lori Lightfoot was such a train wreck, okay? The national coverage on what a train wreck Chicago was out there, right? And so the light was really bright on, how many places say, 76 dead in Chicago this weekend?
Friday, yeah.
Right, we always see that, right? It's a holiday weekend. We went up to 115 deaths in Chicago.
But that resembles Tucson because every day somebody else got shot.
The difference is the coverage, right? People were getting it nationally where either, you know, you get it at the TV stations, they'll cover someone getting shot, but that's mostly seniors are watching network news, right? And then the rest of the media has been complicit in basically not covering it.
But even
so
there's
no light being shined on this.
So take the younger crowd that votes, and take the under 30, if you will. And hopefully a lot of them are on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot, and they're looking at TMZ Tucson. And TMZ Tucson, every single day, you see a fight downtown, lawlessness, homelessness, people defecating all over town. I mean, at what point do you say is enough enough?
But who makes up the election, the voter roles of Tucson. It's older. It's older libs.
But it doesn't. It straddles both sides of the political fence, because if you're a business owner, the city doesn't help you at all. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Are there business owners still in Tucson?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, because they're complaining because the homeless guys are crapping on their sidewalks.
I know.
And the city's doing nothing about it.
You see the one in the news where the guy, the homeless guy, came into their office and exposed himself.
Yeah, it's our friend Monica Carlson, who's on the show as part of the Tucson Crime Free. Yep.
Yeah. Unbelievable that it's got that bad. Well, look at Portland. We brought this up a little bit earlier. Walmart closed.
Sure. CVS just left, I believe.
Yeah. So when you start losing major retail chains, because they're like, we just can't make a living based on theft and all the things happening, you would think that would be the tipping point, but...
That's coming here. People walk into the Circle K, they walk into the Target, they get a basket full of crap, and they walk out the front door, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you get two or three guys my size, and let's go tackle the guy. But now you're the bad guy.
Well, look at Walgreens closing.
Yeah. All across town.
Right, so I always say the one on First and Grant's amazing, right? They come in there, they buy that corner out, they build the building for the sausage deli guys, right? To build their building, and then they close 2 or 3 years later.
And then a Family Dollar went in, and it closed.
Right, I mean, and then the Oracle and Limberlost one that our listener Liz always calls about, right? That one went out of business.
What about the one on Oracle and Grant right there? Now it's a McKay's or McGarry's, whatever it is, grocery
McGarry's,
store. Right across from Juan. I don't know. Juan's like the little island that survives in that cesspool over
there. Well, I had a business there. That was where my trash company was for all those years.
Really?
Oh, picked apart. I mean, they literally tore the doors off my sheds and stole things. I mean, it was picked apart.
Did they steal your air conditioners off the roof?
Oh, yes, they did. It was we had a whole segment called Joe's Woes. At one point, I had retail stores. I had that trash company, and I would get hit constantly. And it was the point where it wasn't even worth fixing the doors because the cost of it breaking in was worse than they were taking away.
Yeah, you were on Oracle. Oh, you were on 15th, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I got a good rental over there for you. I'm telling you that the people, what they're putting up in the areas and what they're asking for like over there. Oh, $1.1 million for an 8-plex.
Oh, the stories. We used to, for a series of time there, we'd come in every morning. It'd be some other, every week would be something new and stupid that happened to me.
Welcome to Tucson. So it's continued and gotten worse.
We got a message of encouragement and congratulations from our friend Ray Deppa, right? Which Ray, of course, was the GM of KOLD.
He's in Kentucky, right?
Yeah. And K-Gun, sorry. And he, remember Mr. Whiskers?
Yeah, right.
So for you new listeners, Ray was doing some work for the Tucson Sidewinders. So he lived east side, so he would take golf links and then make a right on Ajo kind of thing, right? And so what would happen is he saw a dead cat on the median at Swan and Golf Links. And he goes, so he calls up, he goes, guys, there's a dead cat. I saw it 2 weeks ago. It's still there. We're going to call him Mr. Whiskers. And he called up every week with a Mr. Whiskers update until he was a desiccated husk with about 3% of his body was still there. And like, Mr. Whiskers is still here.
That's like the Oral Valley Coyote.
Oh, yeah, that Alex had to put up with.
And I'm here to tell you, Mayor Ed and the crew in Marana killing it, because 4:30 in the afternoon, we have a dead coyote, one of the triplets. And the next morning by 9 o'clock, it's 7:30. I'm dropping the child off at school. I'm coming back, and the dead coyote's getting scooped up by Public Works.
Some people get it, buddy. That's why Marana is the community of the future.
Blocking and tackling, right? Parks, roads, cops. Blocking and tackling.
Seriously.
Let's get the basics done.
There's a pothole on the bridge that I drive in to come in. I send them a message as I hit the next stoplight, go to my Marana, hit the app, say this is where it's at. On the way back from the show, it's fixed.
Yep.
That's impressive.
The other thing I'm noticing is none of the lights are timed in the city, Tucson, anymore. Oh, yeah. You notice that? They used to be all kind of, when Hicks was on it, Mike Hicks was into it. Not no mo. It's a stop at every light every time you go away.
Well, we're going to build 66 bike boulevards is where we're heading.
And plant 3 million trees.
So a listener, Grant, sent me a picture of the Ed Alexander beautification on Campbell. The trees are now gone.
Yes,
there's just nothing there.
In the middle of the road, they put the trees.
Center island.
Tree things.
Wonder why they died. No water.
All right. One more hour with Chris, Sean, and Joe. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.